living by faith during a shattered age. That's our theme during these 5 weeks. This is week number two. We're walking with a tour guide, a guy named Habakkuk. We know that when a society lives with relative peace and affluence, it's easy for people to start believing that the normal human condition is peace and affluence. But history tells us that's not true. There have been many shattered ages, some of them during our lifetimes. And are we living in a shattered age now? Are you? Am I? We really don't know, because history is written from the perspective of the future. But whether we are living through a shattered age, or whether we're entering one now, or whether we're not, it's all but certain that each of us will experience a brokenness now or at some point in our future. And so learning how to live by faith during a shattered age is important. Tolkien caught that very idea in his famous Lord of the Rings. Frodo is speaking about the evil and the conflict of his age, and he says, "I wish it need not have happened in my time." And Gandalf, the wise wizard, says, "So do I, and so do all who live to see such times. But that is not for them to decide. All we have to decide is what to do with the time that is given to us." So, last week, we saw that when faced with a shattering experience, most people either deny the reality of their brokenness, or they deny God and just completely walk away. We saw that Habakkuk, on the other hand, chose the road less traveled. He chose to boldly and honestly wrestle with God, and also, at the same time, to passionately embrace God in spite of pain. In other words, to struggle, but to still hold on. And Habakkuk wasn't the first one to do that. In Genesis 32, we read the story of Jacob wrestling with God. And if you remember the story, you'll recall that as the day was dawning, Jacob said, "I will not let go unless you bless me." And the result? God said, "Jacob, you will overcome." Transformation, personal transformation, awaits those who follow Jacob's path, who follow Habakkuk's path. So today we're addressing something that's called waiting on the Lord, or waiting for the Lord. It sounds very spiritual, doesn't it? It also sounds biblical. It's very difficult. It has to be done very intentionally, very much on purpose. So how do we do it? What specifically do I need to add or subtract from my life in order to truly wait for the Lord in a biblical way? And there's plenty that I need to address on that. Maybe you do too. So let's take a look at it. Here's what Habakkuk has to teach us today. Verse 3 says, "Though it linger, wait for it. Though it takes longer than you want, keep waiting." Well, that tells us that, first of all, to wait on the Lord is to wait with patience. Not giving up, not blowing up, not despairing. Patient comes through deliberate actions and choices. The first of those is to embrace humility, to be humble enough to accept that you don't know what the best thing would be in this situation. See, what we do is we tend to think, here's what I want, this is what would be best, I want this now. That's not the way that Habakkuk is teaching us. It's not the way that James teaches us in the New Testament, in James chapter 4, where he says, "Listen to you who say, today or tomorrow, we will go to this or to that city, we'll stay for a year, we'll carry on our business, and we will make money." And James says, you don't even know what will happen tomorrow. When we talk like that, we're implying we know something that only God knows. We are being prideful when we are impatient, because we're implying that we have God's level of knowledge, and we just don't. We need to embrace the humility of recognizing God's greater wisdom if we want to get beyond this struggle with impatience. So, first of all, develop patience by embracing humility, and then embrace personal growth. Transformation happens for those who wait on God. The scripture's full of this. Isaiah 40, probably the most famous passage, those who wait on the Lord will renew their strength. They'll rise up with wings like eagles. Something transformative happens to you and to me when we learn to do the thing we're talking about today, waiting on God. So first of all, wait with patience. Secondly, wait with perspective. Verse 1 says, I will station myself on the ramparts. Ramparts? You know, what does that mean? When do we use that word except for when we're singing, on the ramparts we watched? You know, it's part of a song, but what are ramparts? Well, ramparts are the towers, the high places in the city. And when you want to see what's going on beyond what's immediately around you, you go up to the tower, up to the ramparts, get that higher perspective where you can see around. You can see whether there's bad weather coming. You can see whether there are enemies coming. You get greater perspective, greater clarity of what is in the distance when you go to the higher places. And so Habakkuk is saying, get up to that high place. Get up to that place where you can see with greater perspective. Paul did this in Romans chapter 8, verse 18, where he said, I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. What Paul is saying is, when I'm focused on the immediate struggles and the suffering and the brokenness, the shatteredness of my life, I get pretty despairing until I get better perspective. And I remember that something greater than this is coming. Something that's beauty, that's glory, is greater than the suffering that's accompanying my experience right now. I need patience. I need perspective. The third principle from the text is wait with obedience. The very first part of the verse says, I will stand at my watch. He's using language that a military person would recognize to say, I'm on assignment. Being on watch is like being a sentry, being a guard up there on the tower, watching for the enemy. When you're on assignment, you can't excuse yourself because you're hungry or angry or lonely or tired or bored or sad or unfulfilled or frustrated. You hold your position because that's what you've been assigned. Habakkuk is saying, this is God's assignment. I'm not going to give up. I'm going to station myself at my watch. That's God's call for me. It's God's call for you as well, and for me. To wait means to serve. Even in English, we use that, right? When you go to a restaurant, and I know they're all closed right now, but when we've gone to restaurants, the waiters, they're not waiting, like just waiting around. They're probably running around. They're probably serving very hard, because to be a waiter means to be a server. To wait on the Lord means investing yourself in serving God's purposes. That means obeying His calling on our lives. And I know we say things like, but what if I'm just not being fulfilled? What if I don't find it satisfying? You know, I think of something that John Newton said. John Newton was the minister and hymn writer, a former slave owner and dealer, who wrote Amazing Grace. But a person came to him and said, Pastor Newton, I'm getting nothing from my prayer life. And Newton's response was, I guarantee you, if you are getting nothing from your prayer life, you'll really get nothing from not praying. We're called to our watch, to our station. We're called to our assignment, which includes prayer. It includes reading and encountering scripture. It includes worship. It includes serving. These are all things that we do because it's part of God's calling for us. It's what He has in mind for us. Now, how do we wait on the Lord? First, with patience, being humble, embracing the opportunity of growth that waiting provides us. That's patience. Then perspective, getting a larger scene than just what's immediately around me. Third, obedience. We talked about that. Fourth, wait with joyful faith. Wait with joyful faith. Verse 4 says, the righteous person will live by his faithfulness, by her faithfulness. And this is one of the most important passages in the Old Testament. It's quoted or alluded to no less than 5 times in the New Testament. The righteous will live by faith. And you say, well, yeah, Rick, I get that, but you said joyful faith. Where's the joy in that? Let me challenge you, as a person of faith, place your focus not on the delay of your desires that force you to wait, but focus instead on God's redeeming purposes and His promises. One of the most compelling passages of Scripture that reveals the heart of Jesus to me so beautifully in Luke chapter 12, verse 32. Jesus is talking to His followers and He says, do not be afraid, little flock. I love the tenderness of that. He's sensing their fear and He uses this term that describes a bunch of sheep. A little flock. And it sounds so affectionate to me. Do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. Your Father has been pleased. Don't be afraid because the Father is not simply giving you the kingdom. He's pleased to give you the kingdom. And do you notice it said, it doesn't say your Father will be pleased. Your Father is going to be pleased. He has been pleased to give you the kingdom. It's past tense. God sees this as such a firm thing that He uses past tense language like it's already happened. And then 3 verses later, in verse 35, because the Father has been pleased to give us the kingdom, Jesus says, be dressed and ready for service and keep your lamps burning like servants. He's saying, be ready to serve. Be ready to honor God. And then in verse 37, He says, it will be good. It will be good for those servants. Why will it be good? Jesus goes on to say that the Master, that's Him, that's Jesus, the Master Himself will dress Himself to serve and will come and wait on them. There it is. That's the joy. The joy is that Jesus says, I am going to serve you. And that has already happened. You might say, when did that happen? When did Jesus ever dress Himself as a servant and wait on me? And when did He ever serve me? You know the answer. On the cross. That's exactly what Jesus Christ was doing on the cross. He was giving Himself in service to you. And to me. There's even a song that you've probably sung many times. Upon the cross of Jesus, mine eye at times can see the very dying form of one who suffered there for me. And from my smitten heart with tears Two wonders I confess, the wonder of his glorious love, and my unworthiness. Pray with me. Lord Jesus, thank you for that wondrous love. Thank you for that amazing grace that reaches out to enfold us. Lord, you call us to wait. You call us to wait on you, to have patience. You call on us to be humble enough to believe that your ways are best, to be committed to the transformation that you promise comes when we wait. You challenge us to get your perspective on things. You call us to be obedient and to be servants of your people and your kingdom. And Lord, you challenge us to be faithful and joyful. And we'll confess these are hard things for us, but there are things that you want to add and subtract from our lives. We invite you to reveal those to us. We invite you to show us how we can serve you with greater faithfulness. We pray through Christ our Lord. Amen.